Welcome to the special edition podcast with myself, Bernie Baller, and Ed O1. And today we have a special guest. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hey, folks. This is Harry, Sculptor, European Glory, home fan, infinite username. And thank you so much.
We've got an hour.
Thank you so much for the invite, Benny. And I'm really pleased and happy to be a part of this wonderful 1 hour podcast.
We hope it's 1 hour.
Yeah, sure. Over to you, Benny.
Yeah, if you're going to read out all your usernames, we might be here longer than an hour just for that.
Yeah.
Okay, right, let's get into it. Obviously, we're here to discuss Arsenal and Liverpool game. So, we will start. Harry, why don't you give us your input on starting at the back, Mignolet?
Well, I mean, like, I don't think I need to speak a lot about Mignolet because we all saw what happened. How often we score 3 goals and then come back with only 1 point, isn't it? So, very poor. He was shocking, to be honest. But before we blame everything on his shoulder, I was not really happy with the defence either, because every time, I always believe that the goalkeeper is the last person, to be honest, when you concede a goal, because there are a lot of players in the pitch who has to do their job, which also did not. So that is something which we'll have to address. But again, good shout to Wenger and probably Klopp, because Liverpool, Arsenal always produce some good football. A lot of goals, entertainment, because both teams respect each other. They give space to play. And it's the same case with Manchester City also. So there are a couple of teams with Liverpool enjoy playing football. I think it was a great game for the neutrals to watch, end-to-end, 3-3. But I'm a little disappointed that we just got 1 point.
But, we've lost Tris 1 second. We'll just get Ed back in.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. It automatically updated itself and cut me off. I was just like, what's going on? Why has this suddenly gone silent?
All right, Ed, give us your opinion then. We'll go, you know, stick on Mignolet. Let's have a look at the first goal.
Well, do you know what? I don't think it's as much his fault as people keep saying. I know he should have done better.
Yeah.
But the defence wasn't set up properly to deal with the ball in the first place, and that's what bothers me more than what he did. I still think he's a problem, but I don't think in that particular game it was his fault as such, though I still think he should have at least saved the one from the corner.
I'm just trying to think. The first goal was the shot at near post. Is that right?
Yeah.
Right, for me, he's got to save that. Your De Gea's, your Czechs, your Begovic's, yeah. Your Courtois, they save them, you know?
Yep, fully agree.
Okay, we'll...
The second one is the one I was thinking of, the corner.
Benny, if I could interrupt.
Yep, go on.
Yeah, I mean, like, as Ed Sierra wants to say there, because I'm not going to blame completely and mix on the first goal, because if you analyse the goal, actually, there were 4 places where it could have been stopped. The first one was a long ball, but Saka couldn't deal with it. Giroud got the header. Campbell had the ball. We did not close him down. He had time, space to pick Ramsey. Ramsey just ran past Saka. Saka was again ball watching. Torre couldn't. So, you should have stopped that.
The thing is about Sacco there, he was a bit dazed. You got to remember, he headed the back of Giroud.
Yeah,
and he was rubbing his
head.
He was out of position and he obviously hurt himself.
I understand that. So, Mix come very last. I mean, like, yeah, he should have stopped that. But I was just furious at how did Ramsey got that space. I mean, Campbell got that space. He got the space continuously throughout the game, isn't it? We never closed him down at all. I mean, if you just go back and see that goal, he just had more than 3 seconds. He just had Ramsey coming behind him, running past Saka. Saka just left it, and then he scored it. I mean, someone should have actually put the tackle there.
Is that the one where Milner was sat on his backside, injured?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, some of the midfield...
I can't remember which one.
...just to put a tackle there. We did not actually... That,
Somebody should have come across and covered when Milner was sat on his backside.
I agree.
Obviously not going to get up and get...
I agree that, you know, Campbell shouldn't have had that time and space to play the pass. But, you know, I can't put too much blame on Sacco. Sacco's gone to win the header. You don't win every header. It's football, you know. And he's clattered heads and he's a bit dazed. So, you know, a Sacco that hasn't just smashed his head, he would, you know, would track that run.
Yeah.
You know.
But one of the midfielders should have actually put their body on the line probably...
Oh, Campbell! Yeah, Campbell shouldn't have had that time and space.
Campbell was the sole creator there. Actually, there's not Giroud or Ramsey, because it was just Campbell was easily picking Ramsey's run because he had no pressure. I mean, he just had the ball for a couple of seconds. He was just looking before the options and just pushed it past Sacco, and then Ramsey ran past Sacco, just got behind Sacco and just scored it. That's it. That's how it happened. We'd never had that stop there. That's a problem. We'd never had someone put that tackle there. It would have not reached Mix in the first place itself, isn't it?
Mm. What do you make the third goal, Ed?
I'm trying to remember what the third one was now.
Oh, no, sorry. We missed the corner one. Let's go for the corner one.
The corner, I was going to say, the corner one... There should have been somebody marking the near post. Personally, yeah. I prefer to have a player on each post. I don't like having no player. I just think it helps to have a player on each post. It makes a big difference. You can't get all these zones and all that. You can't cover all the pitch. It's just impossible. There's too much space to cover. So putting a man on each post cuts down the chances of conceding the goal by far more than sticking them all out in the middle of the pitch where... they can get beaten in the air anyway, much more easily, because players are running onto the ball. They can jump higher. They can, you know, you're risking own goals much more by not having someone on the post and trying to challenge for every ball. You just can't win them all. So putting someone there gives you much more protection, in my opinion. And that's where we went wrong there.
Do you think, though, you know, that's because of said things that happen in the build-up? I mean, it goes past Lallana and comes to Giroud, and Sacco is up his bum. But do you think Sacco could have got a foot there first?
No,
I just think, you know, these kind of situations, it's really difficult to beat the attacker because he's always going to be in front, because the defender has to react to the attacker's movement. If he anticipates it, then he can easily, you know, he makes a run and the attacker just runs the other way, you know what I mean? So he has to wait and anticipate. So he's always going to be a split second behind. That's why I think your best. That's why the zone system became so popular in the first place, rather than man marking, because you're kind of giving the, you know, you're accepting that that's not going to, you know, you can't man mark, and you're taking the zonal route instead of just picking up areas. But there's too much area to, you know, you just can't possibly close down all the areas, and you're giving up an advantage, too much of an advantage. At least put them. I just think putting people on the post would work. Especially instances like that. That's the second time now. Second or third time we've conceded virtually straight from a corner?
No, I agree. You know, I'm a goalkeeper. I always have people on the post. You got to. You just got to.
Yeah.
Anything.
I don't understand.
Any sort of header, you know, close range from corners or any flicks, keepers can't react to get to the, you know, sides of the goal. So, yeah, I always have men on the post. But you, no real fault of Mignolet. Do we think he could have saved it, Harry?
No, I don't think the second goal was just like... I mean, like... well, we can blame him for everything, isn't it? But I don't think he was completely to be blamed for the second goal. Again, short corner. I mean, like, he had no clue. I mean, like... And I think Sacco should have done a little more better with Giroud because it just came so quickly. So I'm not going to blame him. It was not his fault completely. Sacco should have done a little more better there, actually.
Okay. You want to take us into a third goal, Chris? Ed?
I'm trying to remember what the third one was now. I was so excited. Jumping up and down, trying to be quiet.
It's the one where... So the ball comes in and everyone's sort of moving to their left and it takes a deflection and just totally throws Sacco and Kolo. And then Giroud does the turn, even, you know, carries on that momentum the other way.
Yeah, I remember he turns on the ball. Yeah, that was a... you got to say, fantastic piece of skill by Giroud. Could you have done more, possibly, but...
Well, that's the thing. I think that ball goes direct into his feet. We deal with it. But because that ball was going to the... You know, was going wide right, but then the deflection brought it back into centre. Kolo and Sakho are shifting to left, and, you know, Sakho's gone, and then Kolo's going, and he just tries and throws his head or anything, any part of his body in front of Giroud once he's about to get the shot off, because they're all falling to their left hand side, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think you've just got to accept sometimes that it's a good goal, and that's it.
You know,
these things happen sometimes. It's a good finish, I mean. So you can't stop that one. You can't blame the keeper on that one.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't think it was a good goal, though. I think it was a jammy goal because of that deflection.
Well, yeah, but what I mean is, you know, sometimes you've got to accept they're a good goal. Sometimes you've got to accept that they're goals you can't stop.
Oh, yeah, I can, yeah. I agree with that.
You can't really blame what I mean by that. Not saying it was, as in, like, it was a fantastic goal. I mean, jammy, you take jammy all day long if it's going the other way. You don't care, do you, at the end of the day?
Yeah, I take...
It's just whether it goes, as long as it ends in the back of the net, it's a good goal.
It's a goal I'm not going to moan about, because, well, if you're 6'3" and 6'2", and your body's going one way, I'd like to see anyone, you know, sort of go the opposite direction, the split of a hair. And, you know, Drew's turn, yes, nice turn, but Kolo is already going the opposite direction, if that makes sense. But, you know, taking enough away from Giroud, it's a good turn, and, you know, puts it bottom bins, so... What do you reckon to that one, Harry?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like, agree with what Ed Zero and you have to say. I mean, like, this is like one of those panic goals where you are inside a 6-yard box and you have a lot of players surrounding and trying to block the shot and deflect it. Giroud gets a turn. And, I mean, reality, we'll put it very straight. I mean, like, our defenders actually failed to cope with Giroud's presence, to be honest. I mean, like, he's too good to handle. He's a good player when he's on form, and that's the goal was able to happen, so. You just
he's got excellent short movement, Julian.
Yeah, and...
That's what makes it... People are talking about his heading ability. It's not his aerial ability that's the problem with him. It's his touch and movement that makes him so good.
Yeah.
If he was clinical as well, which he isn't normally...
Yeah.
If he was clinical as well, he'd be one of the top strikers.
Exactly.
Without pace.
Exactly. I always rated him. I mean... We just cannot blame... I mean, like, directly, you cannot blame Mix for all the three goals. I mean, like, it is not like he buffled or huffled anything, though. We should have stopped it somewhere else, all the goals. We did not. We conceded. That's the reality. Just for
that. What you've got to say is, the thing is that when you've got a top keeper on that first one, you've got a top keeper, they would have saved the first one.
Yeah, I think so. But Ed 0-1, the third goal...
No, even if the rest hadn't got, you know, the rest hadn't put a stop to it, you would like a keeper to then, at the end, save it.
Yeah, Ed 0-1, the first goal with Liverpool scored. I mean, Emery Shan shooting at Sheik. Sheik should have actually punched it somewhere else, but instead he just punched to Firmino. I mean, like... In that case, you can probably blame Czech for that. But that's the way it is. The problem was, Ken was given total space again. No one was pressuring. Flamini is not a really good defensive midfielder. Ken had more than 3-4 seconds to shoot, aim. He just triggered the bullet. Arsenal did a mistake there.
Do you not think that part of their problem was that Chan and Henderson were getting forward so much and... Flamini was just, as I looked on it, I thought Flamini was the weak link for them because he kept dropping back because he was trying to cover two men. And he had to give himself a bit of time to react. So he was having to drop back further than he wanted. And that put him right on top of their centre-backs, which opened the possibility of us getting at them. That was why we had so much possession and dominated so much on the ball, for me. Yeah. I think that was a mistake. That shows the error that... made not by an defensive midfielder in the summer.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, like, when the team list was announced and I saw two players who basically were poor. Perimeter soccer is very slow. I mean, like, I always knew that we were going to cause trouble. I mean, any player who's got a little bit of movement will trouble him. And Flamini basically is very old. He's not they should have not played him at all, to be honest. I mean, he was not doing anything. Ramsey is not very famous for tracking back, or he's basically an ACM playing a CM role instead of Cazorla. So I knew that we will have some chance in the midfield. And that's exactly how we scored both goals, in fact. The first goal was just like we broke up them, we went to the corner, they conceded a corner, the ball came to Shan, no pressure, Shan had 3-4 seconds, shoot, went to Firmino, scored. The second one, again, we fumbled, Henderson, middle of tackling, Firmino again, left to right, no pressure, bang. So that's it, the defensive midfielder has to put a tackle, which they basically did not have and they did not do it. That's how we scored. Exactly the way we conceded, because we also never had a defensive midfielder to close Campbell when he had space. It's the same thing.
Yeah, we did miss having somebody sitting in there and holding to protect him. I mean, Henderson and Chan worked well together, but they were both just getting forward at will rather than one sitting and one getting forward. Then the other, when the other one went forward, the other one, you know, Henderson, if Chan went forward, Henderson should have dropped in, but you tended to see both of them making runs at times. It was quite worrying, but exciting.
Yeah, the point was, like, we Klopp always play with three centre midfielders. I mean, like, if you look at the previous game yesterday, all the three centre midfielders should have some different attributes. But for me, Milner and Henderson have the same attributes. I mean,
Milner played on the left.
Yeah, but Milner and Henderson are same attribute. They're not different players. Like, they don't bring anything differently to the team. So,
to be fair, yesterday, Milner wasn't actually too bad, though. I mean, he made some good runs. They just didn't pick him out in time. He got in at Mertesacker constantly. He kept running past Mertesacker. If the ball had gone in, he would have had time and space because Mertesacker was too slow to catch him. And Koscielny would have had to run quite a bit further to get to him. It's a shame nobody spotted them runs.
Yeah. I agree.
Cool.
But we definitely miss one disciplined midfielder there who basically can read from back and just make himself ready for all the challenges and probably break up. I mean, players like Campbell, players like Sanchez, you just have to stop them at some point of them. You just cannot blame and depend on your centre-backs and mids to stop everything. You have to stop it in the middle before it even reaches a six-yard box. We did not do that because we did not play a player to that strength. We don't have that player to play that. I mean, like Lucas, yeah, probably should have swapped Milner for Lucas and pushed Cannon Henderson a little higher. Things would have been quite different, maybe.
Yeah, because they did leave it a lot of space behind them, Cannon Henderson. They did forward a bit too much for my life. But it does make for exciting football, and I'll take that over a 0-0 drab draw with a defensive midfielder being the star. I'll take in a game like that every day.
Yeah, I do, but I don't think Klopp really fancy Lucas. One major problem will be the lack of Lucas movement. Probably Lucas has this tendency to pick yellow cards as early as the game. Probably picks up in the 10th minute, and the next 18 minutes becomes a big hard game for him because he cannot go for that 50-50 challenges because he's going to concede another yellow card and then we'll drop to 10 men. So that's where Klopp will have a little bit of confusion. Okay, fine. I need a little bit of energy there. Someone's going to brush me. I mean, like, a little physical there in the midfield. So look, it's a little bit slow there. And so that might be one reason he's actually asking Can to take up the deep-lying playmaker role or even Henderson to take up that deep line.
I called the midfield in the day. You know, we know you're not going to have a lot of the ball against Arsenal. You need legs, and Lucas was never going to be one for that game. Mm-hmm. But there's no need to worry. You know, you said there you don't think. Do you not think Klopp thinks he's first choice? Because to me, when Klopp come in, he made him his main man.
But I think he. If you ask me, then I think he sees Emery Shan taking up that role, to be honest. I mean, like, he desperately wants Can to, because he's got a very good physicality. But the problem is, positionally, not really good. So his physique will probably help him a lot to brush people aside. So
I think Can trying to play a Lucas role is a crying shame of Can's ability. I think he can offer a lot more going forward.
But trust me,
I think that's why he's brought in Gruitch.
Yeah,
to play that role
to replace Lucas.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, but first, the deep lion role.
It's better not Henderson playing that role. I mean, we saw under Brendan Henderson taking the deep-lying playmaker role. He might do good there because he's not a bad player, but the problem is you're just taking 80% of his good feature.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what Hodgson does to him at England. Yeah, he shackles him.
It's not bad to play Henderson any role. He can do anything good or average, but the problem is I always wanted him to play a really as an advanced midfielder. Just go there and score goals. Whenever we have a midfielder in the opposition 6-yard box, the chances of us scoring goals are very high. And that's how Alan scored that goal. It's because his willingness to go inside the 6-yard box, he could have just stayed back and, okay, I'm a midfielder, I'm going to stay in the halfway line. Why should I go in the 6-yard box? I got Firmino, I even Benteke there. Let them score the goals. But he said, fine, fair enough. Let me just push myself up front. That's how Pogba and Vidal score goals. Lampard score goals because he's there at the right time. There are plenty of ball coming in and around the 6-yard box. The problem with Liverpool has always been you really don't have that midfielder who actually go there. One problem, Klopp actually, maybe Henderson has been asked to protect your halfway line alongside Klopp. It's a two-man, what do you call, pivot or whatever. So that's a problem. That's the point, actually. He doesn't.
Do you know who we need? We need Kovacic.
Yeah.
Does anyone else agree with me, or?
We all know Harry hates Kovacic, so we can forget that one.
I must be on my own with Kovacic.
I really wanted him. I mean, like, the reason I wanted him is that... this has been ongoing, right? I just wanted to make a stencil at Inter Milan, and he was very honest. I said, come on, stop laughing, for God's sake. Wait, the reason I want him is he's a fine passer of the ball, a very good passer of the ball. He reads the game really well. He scored goals from the deep-lying position. He's a very good player, a better player than Wilshere. We really want that holding player there. I really wanted him to sit there alongside Lucas or alongside Kane and just dictate the game, make the runs from the midfield, I mean, receive the ball from the centre-back and then drive forward. I mean, like, we wanted that player. I really wanted him to do that. And for the money we were supposed to pay, he is the only player we could have got, isn't it? Modric is 50 million, Pjanic is 40, 50 million, whatever, X million, Y million, Verratti is that million. I mean, Kovacic was quite easily accessible. Brendan had different ideas. He wanted to stump all the money in Benteke and Milner. We're just stuck up there, isn't it? Mm. That's where we're stuck up.
So, do you think we should have signed him, or...?
Yeah. I would still sign him, to be honest.
Why didn't you say so at the time, Harry?
You should have let us know about him.
Well,
yeah, because you never even mentioned him on the site, and it's like quite worrying that now you're telling us this.
No. There's no point saying it now. He's gone and done well at Real Madrid. You should have said this in the summer.
I did the whole summer. I was pleading to the post. Majority of people thought that he's a cam, which he's not. That's the problem because he drives quite forward. Majority of people think that he was a replacement for Coutinho, but he was not. He's just like a Cazorla, to be honest. A player very similar to Cazorla. But people believe he's a cam. That's a problem. Well, they have different options. Okay. Relieved, to be honest. Ed, I just want to ask you something. Who, according to you, was the worst player against Arsenal from Liverpool? I mean, forget Mix and Sakon Touré. Anyone else would you like to mention?
Forget everyone but the one he wants you to say.
I'd have to... that's a good question.
You know, forget Lallana and forget Firmino. Forget Cannon,
Look,
Henderson.
Don't say anybody I want to say.
Forget the fullbacks or Mill.
Do you want me to say? I would probably have to say Moreno was a bit of an issue because his ball into the box, when he had plenty of chances to put it in, and he never seemed to take it.
No, that's the wrong answer.
And when he did, it was awful. Oh, was it not him I was supposed to say? Sorry, so try again, to count him out as well.
Who do you think was the worst player, Harry?
I think, Ivor had a very poor game, to be honest. I mean, like, we expect a lot from him, isn't it? We consider him as a right winger, to be honest. I mean, like, we all consider him as a right winger, and I think...
I certainly don't.
Yeah, so... well, he was not really good on the right-hand side, but...
He's not been good all season.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what's going on in his head, or probably there's too much pressure, or he's not actually... I don't know whether... But I think I was expecting a lot more from him.
He just needs to be worked on. This is what you get with kids. They're inconsistent.
He's not inconsistent, though. He's consistently poor.
Last season,
and he has come in and changed the game.
Yeah, but Ed, tell me
last time he started the game
had a blinder.
I
agree. He's not playing well at the moment. He had a poor game against Arsenal. It just didn't work for him. He was just trying too hard to do things that he shouldn't have tried to do. I just wish he'd not stop and then go. I wish he'd just take it at pace. But he's always stood waiting for the ball to come to him, then go, rather than going and expecting the ball into him. Now, that, to me, suggests that there should be someone in the midfield saying to him, no, don't wait for the pass. You make the run, and I'll spot it, and I'll play you in.
That was...
being told that, which is what I worry about, is that the central midfield and the full-backs, the defender, everybody else in that team should be saying to him, you've got pace to burn. When we've got the ball and there's a space in front of you, you run into it, we'll find you with the pass.
Miller,
that was all Brian Giggs
And you see it more at live games, because my last game, I was literally just sat saying, why are you not moving to that space? Why are you not running down there? He comes to the byline, picks up the ball, and 9 times out of 10, he squares up his man. You don't need to square up your man, do, you know, X amount of step-overs, skin him, and score in the top corner. And that seems to be what he needs... keeps trying to do, and every time he just doesn't cross that ball, and he just keeps getting tackled.
Yeah. Well, what he should be doing is he should be pulling the ball back because he's taking it on the run.
He should be pulling the ball back with his movement. Yeah.
That run that Milner kept making yesterday, where he kept running across Mertesacker to try and get a ball. That very rarely happened, and when he did it, he was offside, wasn't he, the one time they actually played the pass. But that should be the run Ibe should be looking to make. With his pace, nobody's going to catch him. Once he's off and running, if that ball comes through to him, and even if the pass doesn't come through, the defence is looking round to see where he is, and they're adjusting for him, and that leaves a space for somebody else to run into, you know, because they're having to adjust their positioning to suit him because of the run. They're like, oh, God, you know, and they're all... No, it messes with people. When people are constantly running behind you, as a defender, you're constantly having to look over your shoulder to see whether they're, you know, if the ball's gone over, you've got to check, haven't you, constantly, whether they're going to get the ball or not, before you can adjust yourself and prepare for the next pass, and somebody else should be making a run by then.
I agree with you, Ed-01, and that's where a fantastic passing midfield in the centre comes into picture. He's the one who has to bring the fullbacks into play. I mean, like, Shan is not really good in reading the game, to be honest. He's a good box-to-box midfielder, run up and probably contribute attack. And Henderson too, I consider him as pretty much a Liverpool's Lampard. But these two players are not Scholes or Xavi there, actually. Who's going to sit there and spot the fullback, pick those passes, and we don't do that, isn't it? That's a problem. Our fullbacks and wingers doesn't run because... we don't pass them. We just don't reach. The ball doesn't reach there. That's because we don't have...
The fullbacks tend to be, because they're already... You know, Moreno's already right up top by the time the pass is ready to go in. So they can't pass to him on the run because he's already as far forward as he can get. And he's waiting for a pass. And that's a mistake. You know, at least Klein holds back and waits until the moment to make a run. I'm not a big fan of Klein, but he's timing his runs better than Moreno's just charging forward the moment we get possession, which is why we're conceding goals a lot of the time, because he's gone already, long before he should have done.
Because he's in a
like the one fullback turned over the ball. When Lallana turned over the ball yesterday at one point, and then he's chasing back, and there's nobody in midfield behind him. For some reason, both Chan and Henderson had gone forward. Lallana had the ball and lost it, and he was our deepest midfielder. But Moreno had already gone as well, I think, at that point. And it's like, you know, everyone should be holding, just going forward. They're too eager to get forward.
I agree there.
Wait a bit longer.
So, who impressed you yesterday, apart from Firmino?
Well, obviously, Firmino has to be the one that you've got to say. Other than that,
Well, I give Henderson, because that 90th minute long ball to Sturridge, I mean, Benteke, was pure class. I was not expecting that, to be honest. I mean, that was a pinpoint pass to find Benteke in the 90th minute. And I think he worked really hard, Henderson, yesterday. I mean, like, we really miss him in the midfield. I think I will give him a pretty 4 out of 5 yesterday. He was really good for me.
Yeah, I just think that's Henderson's always had that in his locker, so I kind of grow to expect that. I think his problem is he doesn't normally spot it, and he doesn't score enough. You know, he doesn't spot as many of those passes as he should do, trust himself to play him, whichever it is. I don't know.
That's what he has to do a lot more often, because another day, another midfielder, he could have just probably picked Klein or Moreno, but instead he just picked Benteke, and that was very crucial, because he could have just squared a sideways pass or probably backward pass or been very safe and not losing the ball, but he took a risk. We need to take, our central midfielders have to take those kind of risks, actually. You have to pick players, and passing is one area we basically are not really great. So that was really good. I was impressed.
When you're playing a 4-4-2, which is basically what we played yesterday, you have to go forward a lot more quickly anyway.
Yeah.
That's why you put the two up top together, so they can, there's more chance of holding on to the ball. They can work it between them rather than leaving them with no support, where you've got to be able to be good on possession of the ball, because you've got to give time for the others to get up in support. With two up top, you can hit them early and look to feed off them. And that's what we needed to do more of, and it worked when we did it.
Yeah. Agree.
Just shame we haven't got Origi, though. I would have loved to have seen him alongside Firmino last night.
Well, Ings would have done a decent job because of the
Ings, yeah.
Yeah. But
imagine Sturridge.
Like, this cannot
Suarez would have been good if we had him.
Yeah, well, two of the players we've actually got. I mean, Sturridge last night could have just racked up goal after goal, because Arsenal were there for the taking.
Sadly.
They were really poor defensively.
Yeah,
and we were overwhelming them at times.
I mean, what do you think Suarez would have done to him, Harry?
Well, I mean, he would have actually drawn players and probably make a lot of space for Firmino, to be honest. And that's
Suarez, do you, Harry?
Pardon?
You don't like Suarez, do you, Harry?
Well, you just made me a Suarez hater at 0-1.
You've never, again, another one you've never said anything about on the site, so I'm quite surprised that you like him. I would never have known.
Well, I like him, to be honest. I mean, like, I'm not going to hide anything. He's a world-class striker, so you just have to like some world-class players, isn't it? It's 0-1 teasing from day one, isn't it?
Sky Sports are reporting that we've had a bid accepted for Santi Cazorla.
What?
That's what I'm reading.
We have a bid accepted for?
Cazorla.
Santi Cazorla. Not a good player, isn't it?
You rate him?
You bought the team. Yeah, I do rate him. He's a good player. He I think he's a Wenger's one of the finest signing in the last 10 years. Should be him, because he literally struggling in the central midfield or try too many players. And I think once he and Coughlin actually started pairing up, they looked really good. He's a good, decent playmaker there. He makes things happen.
Fair enough. Right, let's look forward then to Man United at the weekend. Ed, what team would you start?
Yeah.
To be honest, I wouldn't want to change much. I mean, would you? I mean, it's one of those things. You really don't want to make too many changes to that team. Just if anybody's struggling with injuries or anything, maybe. But otherwise, the only change I'd make is if, say, Lovren or... The only thing I can think of I'd change would be if Lovren was fit. I'd put him in instead of Touré.
Yeah.
I love Touré, but he's not going to be up to doing... he's not going to be up to the physical requirements required. And Sturridge might be back as well, so if he's fit, then someone's going to make way. Is Milner going to be fit? Is Milner injured? Because he went off injured, didn't he?
No, not injured.
I thought he went off injured. They haven't reported any injury to him.
No, I don't think so. I think he's going to start.
Yeah, well, if he's unfit, then you'd move Lallana to the left and bring if Sturridge is fit, which he's possibly supposed to be fit for the game, isn't he?
I've not heard anything on Sturridge. I wouldn't mind Lucas or Allen coming in for this one.
Yeah.
With the pace of Schweinsteiger, Schneidlin and Fellaini, I think Lucas would be, slotting
true,
nice.
But wouldn't you rather have the pace to just overwork us to when we went at Arsenal?
Go opposite, yeah.
Yeah, I just think you stick. If Sturridge is fit, you put him in instead of Lallana, unless Milner's injured, in which case you shift Lallana.
No, you put Sturridge in instead of Ibe.
Yeah, I suppose you could swap out. Yeah, for... Yeah, I don't know, though, because they...
And then move Firmino out wide.
They're really vulnerable to pace.
But he doesn't use his pace. Oh, let's not get back into Ibe.
I'd be working with him. That's the point of it. You know what I mean? I'd be telling him to just make the run and we'll hit you with the ball. That's what I'd be telling him. Just make the run. Don't care about anything else. As soon as we've got the ball, you're running into the corner. We're going to play it in.
Yeah, but we're not the manager and we can't tell him this.
Yeah. But you were just asking me if I was, who would I pick? And I'm telling you what I'd do.
Team talk. I'm just asking.
Yeah, you're looking at it in that respect. Yeah, I would take out. I'd put in Sturridge for Ibe and Lovren if he's fit for Touré, if those two are fit. Yeah. Other than that,
keep the midfield.
I wouldn't change. I wouldn't put Allen in.
No?
He did all right. Don't get me wrong. He did well yesterday. But it's a totally different thing coming on. Against tired legs.
Yeah, but His last start, he had a good game.
Yeah, I think so. He played really well against Stoke City and also he played really well against Southampton.
Yeah, but I like having two up top. I prefer the two up top. I've always thought it's a better way to go.
Yeah, but I'm saying take Milner out and put Allen in.
Yeah.
Who's going to put the wide?
Well... is more of a diamond, isn't it? Henderson and... you're not going narrow because there'd be three midfielders, wouldn't they?
That's fine. You've got Sturridge and Suarez up top because they're running about all over the place, getting out wide, providing width. Yeah. You don't need to worry about width from your midfield, but when you haven't, you need some...
Play Sturridge and Firmino together up front.
Yeah, I'd love to see that.
What I believe is, like, Elvidge is quite a smart guy, so he's going to play Fellaini because he's not going to... He just needs a result at Anfield, so he will definitely play Fellaini because he knows that we are quite poor aerially. So, as Ed Sirone said, I will bring Colcor or probably Lovren, someone who's going to deal with Fellaini's presence because he's going to chest down and then he's going to bring Ashley Young into picture. I really don't think Mata's going to play. So they want to play with two midfield. That should be Carrick and Schneiderlin because he'll go with experience. He's not going to play Herrera, neither Schweinsteiger, because Schweinsteiger is pretty much a box-to-box player. He needs discipline there, so Schneiderlin, Carrick sit back and probably lump to Fellaini, chest it down, bring Ashley Young into picture. So we need width. So that is something I expect Manchester United to hit Liverpool in that fashion, with like the way they hit last time, except Mata. So we need width. That's what Ed Sheeran said. Ibe should be a pretty good choice. I will not drop him, to be honest. Because
their right back so slow. If he plays Darmian, good player, good, but he's slow. You can get at him.
But Marshall will cause trouble, Ed Sheeran. He will play on the, I mean, like, most probably they'll start with Rooney up top, so Marshall will be shifting on the right-hand side or left-hand side, so the fullback will have a tough job to... He's got tremendous pace, and he's just like Campbell. Better play to Campbell.
Just as long as we don't play Skirtle against him, because he just runs away from him and lets him do what he wants.
I don't think Skirtle is...
That'd be all right, you know. Lovren and Toure and Saka wouldn't do that, so...
We need to win those headers. I mean, like, if they're playing Fellaini, their first ball would be to lump to him, so we need to win those aerial headers. If not, then he's gonna just chest it down and bring
it. So you want to you're happy to play Koke then?
Well, I don't know, why did we buy him if you're not playing him? That's a very weird question, Benny. I mean, like, I don't know, why did we buy him, to be honest?
Loaned him.
Yeah, whatever. He's for 1 day, 10 days, 6 months, 10 years, it's the same thing. You want to pay the money, isn't it?
Yeah, but you need the backup, don't you? Or are you ready to start him?
Where? Yeah, you have to.
Well, if Lovren's nearly fit, why is it we
need... Why do you need a backup now? I don't understand.
Of course we needed a backup.
Well, Sacco, Toure and Lovren. That's for Sunday. You have three centre-backs, two playing, one on the bench. Where is Colker now?
And what if they both get injured?
Oh, Christ. This is going in circles.
You can't really...
You mean to say...
You know, you can't buy players just in case someone...
Yeah.
Well, it happened. We had three go off injured.
No,
and then that's what you have kids for. You know what I mean? That's what you should have.
We didn't have any kids. They was injured as well. Louis Jones was injured.
Edo, what happened with Wisdom? I mean, why did we not call him back? I mean, like, is he injured or... That sounds strange.
He's not injured. He was just sat on the bench watching. Oh my God. Which reminds me, when we get to the Noah the thing, we've really got to talk about that Norwich third kit.
Oh, is that the one they used? I thought it was alright.
Did you not see it? It looks like a packet of refreshers.
Yeah, I thought it was alright.
Oh, it's the worst thing I've ever seen. It's like they've thought, you know what, we're going to do? We're gonna make a stand against rampant commercialism in football. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to produce a third kit that nobody in their right mind will buy.
Yeah, but the pattern ended at the shoulders. That should have been all over.
You would love it, mind, to be fair, but you're not in your right mind, so it just proves the point.
I do love it.
Ed 01, I just want to say one thing. Ed 01, you there?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, what do you think about the recent contract speculation for Mix? 5 years deal with the pay rise? I mean, like, is it a good move by the club? I mean, like, what is behind this? I mean, I just can't believe it.
It makes sense to me, I'll tell you why. Because we're going to get in a new keeper. Klopp isn't stupid, right? But the problem is, if you don't get Mignolet to sign a new contract, once he gets on the bench, say you start playing Ward, right? And Ward has some good games, Mignolet ends up on the bench. Mignolet will run his contract down, he'll move for free, get a big signing on fee. Right, and he'll be cushy because another Prem team will buy him, no problem. Benny. So by getting him on a contract again, he can sit on the bench, and we've got a valuable asset on the bench.
Benny,
someone we can sell.
That's never going to happen, Benny. Trust me, that's not the way it's going to work, because Mix has signed a recent... I mean, like, if he signs a recent contract, the pay rise...
How do you know he's not? Okay. His new contract isn't for less money.
Come on, you don't sign a contract for less money.
Why not? 100%.
Why would he sign that?
Where would he get the money we got anywhere else?
I mean, why would he sign
a contract? Exactly. I mean, Jermaine Pennant just signed a contract of a 75% pay cut.
Players will do it.
Because that was on offer.
Yeah, exactly. And Mignolet won't be getting offered.
That's all we're reading behind the lines. I'm not sure about that because he's signing a 5-year contract.
My point is,
yeah,
I'd just be happy to get rid of him because he's not good enough. He's never going to be good enough. He's not, you know, as a backup, maybe.
Yeah, but him under contract gets us a transfer fee.
But are you sure he's going to sit back at 21-year-old Ward? I don't think so. He's going to make some noise if he's going to go to Benz, to be honest. And who's going to buy him, Benny?
Of course it's...
Benny, tell me who's going to buy him.
A Prem team will buy Mignolet.
Why would
the only team with the worst keeper is Aston Villa. And they've dumped him Guzan's no longer playing.
Exactly. Mignolet would go to Villa if Randy Lerner wanted to spend any money. He could go to...
Absolutely.
He could replace Foster at West Brom.
Who's going to match his wages? I don't think
he could replace Adriano at West Ham.
Jeremy Peace won't spend money.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying?
There's a lot to the keeper than he's given credit for. To be fair, I'd rather have him than Mignolet.
But I'm just saying, there's no point letting him run down his contract. You said, why is he signing a contract? Because there's no point.
He has 2 years left, Benny. He's not running his contract in summer. He has 2 years left. And I think, I remember Ed Sheeran said some days back that, and I agree with that, he should have bought a 30-year-old, probably 29-year-old experienced keeper and then help Watt to progress. Instead, we had done the other way, isn't it?
No, you can't say that. No one knew how good Ward was until he played for Aberdeen. So you can't say that in the summer we should have, you know, had him understudy someone. He come out of nowhere, to be fair, to a lot of the posters on the site.
Maybe on the site, but I did say before, I was saying in the summer that Ward looks like he could be the possibility.
Yeah,
so what, you'd rather have signed Harry's saying to have signed an older keeper and let Ward be his understudy.
Yeah,
Ward would have then not played any football this season.
No, not really.
Right, no, I would say an older one to bring, you know, to give him a bit of time to play, you know, just to give him time to develop. That was all, I think.
Benny, what we did right now is that we made Mix to sign a 5-year deal. He would have got some kind of assurance from Klopp, for sure. Regarding the pay time or whatever it may be. So he's going to play for next 5 years. That's a reality.
I don't think Klopp does the contracts.
Whatever. Without his knowledge, he's not going to sign a contract.
I'm sure Klopp's a lot cleverer than all of us, and I'm sure he would have just not said anything to Mignolet.
Well, I should have actually just waited till summer and see what the picture looked like and probably brought a new keeper and then allowed Mick to go, to be honest. Right now, we're not going to buy a keeper, that's for sure now. We're going to bring back Ward, and then they're going to fight each other for a spot. One is 24-year-old, one is 21-year-old. And I'm not sure. And I don't think Mick's going to sit happily on the bench. He has a 5-year. It's going to be a Borini situation all over again. It could happen, isn't it? It could happen, a Borini situation. Mick's going to sit on the bench and say, I'm not going to play. No. And I'm not going to drop my wages. Simple as that. How many clubs going to buy him?
But don't forget, a lot of money comes from clean sheet bonuses, and it comes from appearances, and a lot of Liverpool's contracts now are reward based.
Maybe I'm not sure about that, but I still believe that that's a real stupid move by the club. If the speculation is right and makes you signing a 5-year deal with a whatever pay rise, because he still has 2 years left, Benny. He's not running his contract in summer. I think he's still.
I don't think the pay rise matters. The point is, why give him a 5-year contract? I just don't see the.
Has he signed a 5-year contract?
No, but I'm just saying, to even consider it, I just think it's a mistake.
How do you know it's even being considered? We don't even know he's been offered a contract.
Well, that's what everyone says, isn't it? It's 0-1, he's here.
I'm not actually sure what's happening with him, to be honest. I've only heard the speculation and nobody's actually confirming it to me or denying it.
Exactly. I think Klopp's going to at least assess everyone this season before deciding who he hands contracts to.
Well,
a lot of our contracts always happen in the summer anyway.
Exactly. It should happen.
Yeah, I mean, initially I was told, like all of them, they'd be playing for new contracts, not they'd get them.
Exactly. So I think we need to calm the talk that he's getting offered a contract, because, you know, He certainly ain't going to be. Klopp isn't an idiot. Ian Eyre isn't an idiot. They can see how poor he's playing. They're not going to go, here's five more years. Have a bit of faith in the club for once. Just a little bit.
You just love me. Finny?
Hey?
Like him, isn't it?
I don't like him. I think we need a lot better goalkeeper. But I'm just saying, you know, the club aren't buffoons. You know.
So what would you do, Harry, if you had to choose a keeper? Would you go and get an older man or a young?
I would do that. I would probably buy an experienced keeper. I'm not going to look for a young keeper. If Ward is good enough for quite a lot of people, including you, Ed, I trust you, then I would probably...
I don't.
Or team. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah. Oh, that was coming. So I was going to buy someone like Cech, who's probably 30, I mean, like, yeah, about 30 years of age, and probably stay for 3-4 years. Yeah, and then promote Ward slowly. So that would have been my decision to buy a keeper.
I don't want Ward to come in slowly. He's been out playing first team football. He's done fantastic. How old was De Gea when he was chucked in Man United's net?
23.
What about that Donnarumma?
Eh?
16 years old, Donnarumma.
Yeah, AC Milan.
AC Milan keeper, 16 years old. They've thrown him in this year, and he's been a revelation.
Exactly. Yeah,
so what if Mick...
He's been the best keeper in Italy.
I want to see Ward chucked in, and I want to see Mignolet on the bench, and I want to see... Mignolet will probably start moaning and whining, so I want to see him sold in the summer. I'm telling you now, Klopp has to give Ward one game, right? And he can't just throw him in. He'll play him in the extra replay. And fingers crossed, he doesn't make any mistakes. Perhaps keeps a clean sheet, makes one or two good saves, and then Klopp could go, right, you're starting the next game. And that is how the transition will happen.
Well, the point is there's a pressure on the Ward from the word go, isn't it? That is the point here.
No, I wouldn't say pressure. I'd say an opportunity for him. He's got a big chance here, a good performance against Exeter. That means he's our keeper that isn't making mistakes, you know, isn't panicking, isn't flapping. You know, a good performance. Klopp can then say, Klopp needs a reason. You know, he needs a reason. He's a ruthless bloke, but he's not just going to come in and piss everyone off. He's going to be clever about it. He's going to play him in the Exeter game. If he has a good game, then he will start the next game in the Premier League. He needs to be able to say, right, good game, you're in again.
I hope so, Benny. I'm like, yeah, hope so, because I don't see a future.
Why else would he recall him? He's been doing fantastic at Aberdeen.
The reason we recall him is Bogdan has been very poor. We need two keepers, isn't it? Klopp don't see anything Bogdan. He need two keepers at least. One gets injured or probably to alter during games or probably midweek games. So he need two keepers. That's the reason he's recalled him. It's not because he's been... I don't think any other reason. I really don't think any other reason. Yeah, Ward will play in midweek, but I still believe Klopp actually trusts Mix. I mean, my perception, probably what's my thinking, I still believe Klopp actually trusts Mix.
If he trusted him, he wouldn't have brought Ward back from doing well on his loan.
The reason Ward was bought was because we need two keepers, Benny. We have only one.
We have two.
No, Bogdan is not a keeper. I mean, you just don't...
Neither is Mignolet, then.
Klopp doesn't trust Bogdan, that for sure. That's 100%. He doesn't even consider...
Well, you don't need to trust your backup keeper. Because at the end of the day, a keeper can play game after game after game. You only choose to play a second keeper if someone's injured.
Yeah.
So I don't see him being brought back from a really good loan spell where he's playing week in, week out, getting better and better. There's no point bringing him back to sit on the bench.
Well, the reason was Bogdan's poor performance against Exeter, to be honest. Yeah,
but forget Bogdan. He's come to replace Mignolet. There's no point
him back to
sit on the bench. Yeah.
That would be pointless. Yeah, it'd be pointless. You don't bring back a player to sit on the bench.
That's it. I mean,
not unless, you know, you don't do that.
Let's hope so, Ed. I mean, I'm not really sure, but I think
If they just wanted him as cover, all they'd have done is they'd have recalled him then and then lent him out on a short-term, you know, on a new contract with a loan recall option. That's what you'd do if you wanted, you know, if you just wanted him so he was available, you'd just renegotiate the contract. So you
little one-month contracts, yeah. Little things.
Well, let's hope so, because, I don't know, because...
You'd work it out, so you cancel it off, and you give them one recall at any moment, which can be done.
Maybe. But, as I said, I just can't see anything different, because I really believe that Klopp trusts Mix. I mean...
He doesn't. He's not daft. He's watching the same things we're watching. I think he has no confidence in either, and he's made that absolutely clear by recalling Ward.
Let's hope so. But we agreed today that the goals we conceded today was not... I mean, like, I completely be blamed for Mix.
I don't blame Mignolet for the goal. I blame him for the first one. Well, I don't even blame him for it. I'm just saying a better keeper would have saved it.
Okay, fine. Go with that.
You know, I mean, he did do well in his area. He come and punched when Ramsey looked sure to score, you know. So, but he's not good enough.
He still makes me panic when he kicks.
Yeah, and he's not good enough, and the squad's not good enough.
Oh, my heart goes in my mouth.
I just want to ask you one thing, Ed-01, if you have time enough left, because what's going on with Benteke? I mean, we bought him for a huge money, and things are not working. I mean, like, I've seen posters crying out he doesn't fit the Klopp style and things like that. I am not completely agreeing, because we went through the same thing last season. We had only one plan A. The same posters were crying out for plan B. Brendan decided to bring the best plan B available. That's Christian Benteke. What is this plan B all about? Whooping the ball inside the box. We bought the best player, basically, in the league, scored 42 goals for 3 seasons at Villa. That's a plan B, isn't it? Because we were trying to penetrate through the middle whole year under Brendan. Replace Firmino with Sterling, the three ACMs up front. Lallana, Coutinho and Sterling never worked out. The posters were abusing Brendan for not playing a recognised striker. We bought Benteke. Now, that's a plan B. Now, the same posters won't say that he doesn't fit the style. I mean, I don't understand that. What is the style?
Because Brendan didn't buy him as a plan B.
Well, why did he buy him then, Benny?
To be starting week in, week out.
What?
Of course he did. You don't spend 32 million on a plan B. You spend 4 million on Lambert and don't use it.
That's what I'm saying. He wanted... No, that's
Benteke is not a plan B. He was here.
He was a plan A?
Of course he was. You don't spend 32 million on a player that plays in week in, week out, scoring a goal every other game for another club to be plan B. Do you think Benteke thought he was plan B?
Of course, because... Did Tim share...
Well, you thought he joined us because he he was plan B.
No, plan B in the sense I thought he joined because he wanted to be main man and instead was getting injured. But Benteke has only one style of football. I mean, let's go back to Aston Villa days or even back. That's how he played. And that's how he's going to play at Liverpool and probably the next club. So that was never going to change, isn't
it? Yeah, and the year beforehand, Liverpool put in the least amount of crosses of any Premier League team, and then Rodgers went and brought Benteke, who feeds off crosses, and that's why he has been sacked.
That is the point.
I don't get this. I'd say I'm confused. Why do people say he feeds off crosses when he's never in the bloody box to get on the end of a cross anyway?
Yeah,
I mean,
but
look at that ball I put in.
Yeah, but I
good ball he put in. Where the hell was Benteke? He was shouting at him and screaming at him because he didn't play the ball back to him on the edge of the box.
Ed,
when he couldn't possibly have got the ball to him, Benteke needed to get in the 6-yard box to look for a tap in, and we'd have scored then and won the game.
Ed, it's a catch-22, mate. We moan the attacking midfielders aren't doing good enough because Benteke isn't moving, right? There's that side of it. And then there's the other side. Benteke isn't making runs in the box because Ivan Lallana do not cross the ball.
Well, yes.
You know, it's a catch-22. It's just going to go in a circle. He's a bad fit for us, and that's
it. Yeah, he's a terrible signing. Ridiculously bad signing. And I couldn't understand why anybody argued otherwise at the time either. I've never understood that.
But Ed, how did he manage to score 42 goals for Aston Villa? Tell me. I mean, like, he was a bad signing. He was a terrible signing.
Because they built the team around him.
What do you mean by that?
It was pump the ball long. It was get it wide. It was get it in.
Yeah. So we can't do that right now. Is that what you're saying?
To be fair, before he got injured. Yeah. And he first started there before he got linked, you know, before he got injured, and he was getting linked with all sorts.
Okay.
He was making an effort, and he was running onto balls and stuff. And he got the Belgium place, and he got linked with all, you know, he nailed down his place with Belgium. He got linked with all and sundry, and suddenly it's just like it's gone to his head, and he suddenly thinks, right, I've done it now. And that's it. And he just stopped trying because he did. He stopped making those. He used to make runs from, you know, he used to be charging about. He used to make an effort. And then it just like a light bulb went on. And he thought, I don't need to anymore. They already love me. I'm getting big money. I'm a superstar.
No.
I'm number one choice for Belgium.
And no,
you've even seen just Mark Wilmots had spent the entire summer telling him he's a lazy lamppost and he needs to
I think
move.
Benteke peaked too early.
No, I think. See, if that...
The problem is, he's going up and he got rewarded when he was failing. So why did you try? He got a pay rise to join us when he was playing awful football at the time. He was, you know, he wasn't putting the effort in and yet he got a big money move. So he's not getting it in his head that he has to try to win the rewards. He's getting the rewards for being lazy.
That's what I mean by peaking too soon. He got it all given to him far too before he, you know, he's not the completed article.
And yeah, exactly.
He's been given all the high wages, the big transfer fee, the big expectation, and he's just not been ready.
Look at the difference with Dele Alli. He's just got a massive pay rise. A massive pay rise, wasn't it? Something like quadrupled his wages, it was. Quadrupled his wages. No, quadrupled it. It's 25,000.
Yeah.
Quadrupled his wages to 25,000. Now, you know, that's a lot of money, don't get me wrong, but for a footballer, I've known kids in our youth team getting paid more than that. You know, that are in our under-21s. I know some of them have been paid more than that in the past.
We have to wrap it up there, yeah, I'm afraid.
Ed, who would have bought with that money, if not Benteke?
Ooh, that's a good question. At the time, what would we put back backer?
Loic Ramey. Brendan bottled it, and then... Do you know what? We never, ever heard why he failed his medical. Because Brendan's a coward that bottled the transfer. Anyway, we got to leave it there, guys.
He didn't fail the medical. Right. We know he didn't fail the medical. Yeah, he passed the medical, but he just didn't...
Exactly. Brendan used it as an excuse.
Yeah. Because he'd known he'd failed medicals in the past. So he just let the rumours spread.
It is true. There's never actually been a reason behind medical. Why did he fail his medical? Nothing.
He didn't.
Nothing. Sky Sports, nothing. BBC, nothing. Just that he failed his medical. You know, a week later, goes and passes one at Chelsea.
Yeah, and I know he didn't fail it because, well, Ed 002 said it, that he definitely didn't fail his medical, and I believe him on this one. As I'd like to say, you know, the club were terrible. They should have been honest and just said, we decided against the signing.
I think we did a podcast on it, didn't we? Always just chattering about it. You know, we knew. But that, anyway, that's Brendan. He's gone. Right, seriously, got to wrap it up there. Anything left from you, Harry?
No, nothing. Thank you so much for the little small gratitude because thank you so much for the invite, Penny. I mean, like, looking forward to more podcasts. It was great sharing knowledge, talking and analysing the game, and I hope you both had a great time with me either, right?
We've had a fantastic time. Anything from you, Ed?
No, it's nice meeting you, Harry.
Yeah,
I'm surprised. I was nervous about this one, but
we're gonna meet a lot. Ed, you sit in. Okay, fine. We'll meet up very soon, Ed Zero.
Yeah, next time you're in town.
Yeah, we'll definitely. Probably in the Easter vacation. I hope you would be coming down there, and probably we'll meet up there.
All right, mate.
Benny, we also should meet up sometime, isn't it?
Isn't it, yes.
Yes.
He's supposed to be coming over here for a holiday, aren't you, Ben?
Don't tell everyone my movements.
Benny Facebook stalks others, not them Facebook stalking him. Isn't that right, Ben?
I'm an incognito kind of guy. Right. Good night, everyone. Thanks for listening to special.
Good night,
go on then.
Yeah.
Well, one more thing. We've got one more thing to do. It's Benny Ballers. Actually, no, Harry, you should do this. You should have the honour of introducing the joke of the week.
A joke of the week?
Yeah, Benny Ballers' joke of the week. You must have heard the jingle. You've heard the podcast.
No.
He doesn't even listen to the podcast. Oh, my.
Oh, I'm hurt.
That's disappointing.
I don't even listen to the podcast.
I don't listen to the last one. Come on, Benny.
No, I don't feel like I want to do it now.
Come on, not fair. Come on, do that.
I'm hurt now, Harry. I thought you were an avid listener.
No. Benny, come on.
No, if you do the jingle, I'll do it.
Okay, guys, I think I'm running out of time. Getting my batteries drained right now.
Here comes the excuses now, because he doesn't want to do the jingle. What, just do the jingle. You don't know how it goes, do you? It's just Benny Baller's joke of the week, but you say it in a, well...
Okay, the so right. I have a Benny Baller's joke of the week. Benny, over to you.
No, that
works. No, over to you. You must. Come on, act. Come on. Do it.
Joke of the week. That's how you got to say it.
That's how you got to say it.
Yeah.
Go on, then.
Go on, Harry.
No, come on.
Oh, hey. Well, I've done it now anyway. Come on, Benny. You just tell it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Let me just have a look.
Oh, you haven't even got one prepared.
The wife and I went to a bank robbers themed fancy dress party last night. Okay. Well, I did. She stayed in the car and kept the engine running.
Oh. Oh my God. Don't take time to act like, okay, fine. Okay.
Okay. That was weird. That was a weird waiting for, honestly.
I don't understand. You come in, you don't do the jingle. You know, the joke is only as good as the jingle. You know, that's what gives him your power.
Oh, come on, Benny.
I think he did let us down badly there.
Mate, at the end of the day, if you can't do the jingle, why should I make the effort?
That's on Monday when we beat the United.
It is the jingle that makes it work. It's got to be said. It's only because I normally do the jingle, it works.
That's it, when you give a good jingle.
Because the joke's always crap. Love you really, Ben.
That's well, right.
Guys, are we going to see on Monday again for podcast? What do you say, Benny?
We'll call you.
Sure. Sure. It's a pleasure.
Fantastic. Right, let's call it there. Cheers for listening, everyone, to a special edition. Also, well done on the Facebook page. It's over 250 likes now, so yeah, that's doing well. The idea of the Facebook page, guys, is to direct people that don't know about Liverpool Rumours and all the other football rumour sites, you know, and get them over to the website and get them signed up. So, you know, be looking out for some admins because I can't scan every page, you know, and post and go to work. So, you know, we'll get some admins from the other pages and we'll keep going. Oh, and we've got some fantastic fan art from a man named Wes. He's a very talented artist and he's making caricatures up of Edo 1 and Edo 2.
Really?
And they're going to be our cover photos and photos. And I'll tell you now, Harry, they look fantastic.
Really? Seriously?
It's brilliant. I'll send you a picture after. Okay, right. Really.
You know what, Benny? I was the first one to like the page. The very first one.
You can't bribe us.
That surprised me.
You can't bribe us, Harry, for another podcast.
He didn't even listen to him.
You don't even listen to the podcast. You're barred. You are barred from podcasts until you listen to every single one. And we're going to quiz you on it. And,
I think about Lucas today. Next time we'll definitely
listen. That's what we should do. We should do a podcast quiz.
Yeah. Oh, we'll do
we should put together a podcast.
Yes. We'll quiz each other on Liverpool.
Benny, get Ed02 and other Eds also to join for the next podcast. I mean, like, we never heard about anything about them, isn't it?
Well, that's because they're actually important, unlike Ed01. So they're a bit busy. they're a bit busy with like real life.
Yeah, they have a life. I don't.
That's it. Not bad.
Right, we've got to call it there. Cheers for listening, everyone.
I just want to take up this opportunity to say something.
Okay, quick.
This is a recording, okay, so this is going to...
It's recording, quick.
This is for everyone, and I'm really happy, and thank you, Benny, and thank you, Ed Sheeran, for this invite, and to all the posters. You guys are really good. Great. I mean, like, I read a lot, and I had a some great arguments and fight with everyone. I do remember everyone's name and everyone's post, and you guys are absolutely
amazing. He knows where you live. Right.
In
Cheers, guys.